Welcome in to the Channel Tennessee podcast. It is April the 22nd, 2024. The Vols baseball team takes down Kentucky and gets the series win. The NFL draft is this week. One of my favorite things to watch. I love it. A lot of people could care less, but I thoroughly enjoy the NFL drafts. The Vols make some moves in recruiting and the transfer portal. We will dive into that and propose a question for you, Austin. Your top five most miserable fan bases out there, pros, college, doesn't matter. Me and you both will choose between, we'll give five examples of the most miserable fan bases, and I've got a couple, so we'll dive into that. But welcome into the channel podcast. I'm your host, Rainey, alongside my good friend, Austin Brown. Buddy, my allergies are absolutely kicking my butt. I can barely hear. I can barely talk. I got the sniffles. I've been feeling like crap all week. But man, let's do this podcast.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about sports, man. I love doing these things, man. It's just so much fun. It's just hanging out with my friend Austin and talking sports. My voice is cracking, everything. Coughing, allergies, pollen everywhere. Death.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rough time of year, but no, who is not having a rough time of year? That is your Tennessee Volunteers baseball team taking 2 out of 3 up in Lexington, a top five matchup, biggest matchup of the season. It's probably the highest ranked series you'll have all year for Tennessee, and definitely the toughest road environment or we'll play in all year. And we took 2 out of 3 up there. In there, and they set every attendance record. And I think the game they set all the attendance records for. We jumped out 5-0 on the jump, and so it was just reminding them who's their father, and that is the Tennessee Volunteers, because we will always, always own you,
Kentucky. Who's your daddy, and what does he do? Your daddy is Tennessee, and he beats that ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is.
You're always going to be behind us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that might be in one of my top five most miserable fan bases. We'll get into it. We'll share that later on. But it was fun. I was not able to watch the majority of the games. I watched the game on Saturday. I was at my niece's birthday party in Memphis, so I wasn't able to spend much time in front of the TV. But I did tune in to listen to John Wilkerson call the game. It's always fun listening to him call the game, man. He is so freaking good.
He is the best. He's the best radio guy we got on the UT campus by far. I don't know. He's better than the other guy. Let me just say that. He's better than the other guy. That would be Bob Kessling. He's better than Bob Kessling. Yeah, the Friday night, you know, you come out and we came with the opener, Stamos, like we did the last weekend. That went pretty well against LSU last weekend. But I think Stamos threw 8 pitches, and his first guy hit a double off him. Second hitter, actually, he got a fly out, but it was like on the warning track. And if that was Lindsey Nelson, that was a home run all day. And then the next guy, he actually hit with a pitch. And right after that, Tony had seen enough and pulled him and put A.J. Causey in. And A.J. Causey worked out of that situation. I actually listened to this on the radio, and I think he didn't let up a run until, like, maybe the 5th. And he saw a little trouble, but we were carried by Christian Moore. Hunter Ensley, my bad. Hunter Ensley got the first home run to make it 2-0. And I think Kentucky cut it to 2-1. Then we extended back to 3-1 with a Christian Moore home run. But I think around the 7th inning, A.J. Causey ran into some trouble, let up a run. And then we threw Nate Sneed in. And They, I think, hit a homer off him, and we lost that one 6-3, I believe, or 5-3, 6-3, or 5-3. Either way, anyway, it sucked because we, you know, had a 3-1 lead in the sixth inning. You kind of felt like if we handled that one a little bit better, pitching managing wise, maybe we could have gotten out of there clean. But you know, it's what it is. It's we've dropped Friday night games a lot this year, but you know what? You know what's good about, or not good about dropping those games, but you know what's good about what we do? We immediately get back. We immediately get off the mat. The first inning on the Saturday game, we jumped up 5-0 off of a back-to-back Christian Moore and Blake Burke homers, and just kept that pace. Drew Beam, he wasn't quite, you know, the elite Drew Beam we saw a lot of last year and the year before that. But he had an all right performance. He got into trouble a lot, worked out of it. Eventually, I think it was the fifth inning we pulled him when he got into trouble again. And I'm trying to think who got us out of that mess. I think it was just Combs. I think Combs
was.
Combs had the best performance of his entire career in baseball. That was by far. Four and two thirds innings pitched. 8 strikeouts, no runs let up. Even the two guys he came in with, they didn't score. He was a man on a mission, man. That guy, I don't know if you've seen photo of AJ or not AJ Cosby. Have you seen the photo of Aaron Combs on his UT profile? He kind of looks like, and that guy had the best performance of his career on 420. So that was nice. I love that guy. He's
I love this baseball team, dude. Yeah. I'm gonna ask a question because me and my brother-in-law were watching the game, keeping up with the games during my niece's birthday party, and we brought up the 2021 team and how clutch they were. You know how clutch they were, like when they're down, they're just so clutch.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at him right in the eye after he said that. He's like, and I said, this team is better than them. And you know why they're better than them? Because they're just not long ball hitters. And I'm not saying like the 2021 team wasn't just all long ball hitters, but they had the reputation of just smacking them out of the park. And this team, I think that makes a bigger difference than anything watching them. Is they've gotten so good at placing the ball where they want it, and they don't have to hit the long ball. They're not just out there jacking home runs and beating teams that way. And the 2021 team was very clutch in moments like that. But this Kentucky series, this team showed you that they're very clutch too as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this team is better than that team. I honestly do. I think this team has what it takes to do to go past what they've already been like in the world. Like, they can do it all. Like, this team has the pitching. They got to work on the pitching, but I was texting you during the game, and you were kind of calling me down, jumping off a cliff about how it's college baseball, and the pitching for college baseball is pretty much around the country the same. There's no dominating pitching or pitcher in the country, but maybe a one or two. But, man, this team is so different from that 21 team when, you know, you had Jordan Beck, Luke Lipsius, all them dudes. This team is just so complete. There's not a weak point in this roster.
Not in the lineup. It is the strongest lineup, I think. Okay, yeah, the 22 team set every offensive record. I mean, I can't deny that. That team set every single record, was on pace. If they won it all, they would have literally been the greatest team in the history of college baseball. That would have been what they were known for, because they set every offensive record. And this team won't match that. They won't. But, I mean, they're actually going to get probably a little close. But actually, because they currently lead, I think, all college baseball and doubles, home runs, and slugging. So, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. We've had all these teams. I'm not even going to compare, because it's just, I will say though, this team does have a, I don't know, they're a little more humble in a way, if that makes any sense. They're a little less in your face, and that's okay. I think that getting in people's face kind of puts a target on your back and makes it, makes it a little tougher for you. And those teams that put a target on their back and, you know, shake their ass at every given moment, it's almost like those teams put a target on their back and they don't often win the title. It seems like, you know, it doesn't seem to be the way that it goes. Usually you make yourself out to be an enemy for the entire country, and someone gives you their best shot, a bunch of seniors from Notre Dame, and taking you out with their experience. But I will say that the one thing I will disagree with, though, is that 22, I would trade the pitching staffs if I could.
Oh, yeah.
I would take that 9 out of 10 times. I mean, I'll say this pitching staff, it's not as bad as it seems at times. I mean, yesterday it was Sunday. You've already used most of your arms. Sunday in the SEC is known for being like the really bad pitching day because, you know, you've used your best arms, and your Sunday guy's usually the worst of your three guys, and your bullpen's all used up. And, you know, it's kind of like, let's just get to the end of 9 innings and see who has the most runs. Yeah, I'm not panicking about pitching because I still think A.J. Russell, like, if we get him back, however we use him when he gets back, and if A.J. Causey can keep on the trajectory he's on of getting better. And honestly, the thing that made me most excited from our pitching staff this weekend, well, two things. Aaron Combs showing us that man can shove in big moments in front of big environments. That was very encouraging. He's taken a big step forward from where he was last season. But Marcus Phillips, this is a guy we brought in from Iowa Wesleyan. He's from South Dakota. That's where he's from, but he was at Iowa Wesleyan playing college ball. And he transfers over here after 2 years there. And this guy has great stuff. He can throw high 90s. He can he's experienced. He's developed. But he struggled with his confidence. That's what Tony said every time. It's just he's had days where he just couldn't find the zone, and you know, it's just been tough for him. But we started him against Bellarmine in the midweek this last week, and he sat down the first six guys he saw, and then we bring him in for the final out Sunday, and he just shoves and takes that guy out. And that if that guy can be a real consistent force out of the pen, I mean, that's arguably your best arm out of the pen, him or Nate Snead. Or I guess Combs. Hell, I mean, I didn't think Combs was that good until I mean, I thought Combs was all right, but I didn't know he was capable of what he did Saturday. So I mean, there's some encouraging things from the pitching, and I know it sucked to see, you know, let up 11 runs on Sunday, Kirby Cannell getting drilled, but you know, Cannell, if he's not getting enough rotation on his pitches, that's gonna happen sometimes. So it's what it is. But I feel like overall we found some encouraging things from the pitching staff this weekend.
Yeah. This baseball team to me, and you know me as well as the majority of my family does basically, but you know how I always say, I am not a guy that's going to throw out stats. I'm not a guy that's going to read too much into the room of X's and O's and stats and this and that and this and that. I've told you a million times that I'm an eyeball guy, and mm-hmm. I can watch a team and know with my eyeballs if this team is a legit team or if they're pretender, because you can look around the country, you can watch other teams and kind of compare them to your team. It's kind of like the year when Tennessee football beat, you know, Hendon Hooker, you know, beat, you know, Alabama's and then the Florida's, and they start off 8-0 and they do all of that. But you know, in the back of your mind, you're watching it like, this team is not the same as that team over there. You said it to me one time. We weren't beating Georgia.
No.
Like, we weren't.
We couldn't match them on the line of scrimmage.
Yes, but that's what I mean by when I say I can look at something and say, like, okay, that these aren't the same. Like, if Tennessee had another shot at them, maybe on a neutral field, maybe, but probably not. But It's the eyeball thing. It's the eyeball test. It's what you see. And what I'm seeing from this team is what I mentioned a little while ago. This team is better. And I said the 21 team, you said the 22, same season, right? 21, 22.
Well, 21 was the 21. Yeah. I feel like 21 was when we started to figure it out. Kind of, it's when like things just started happening. And then 22 is like those guys.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay.
That was the year where we set every record. We're number one all season.
Yeah, 22. Okay. So looking at that team and then looking at this team, it's just like I'm looking at it and I'm like, this team is better than that team. Stats will not say it. Letters, numbers, blah, 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 won't say it. My eyeballs are looking at it and saying that team that we're watching right now can place the ball where they want to place it, can hit the long ball where they want to hit it, can get dudes on base when they need to get dudes on base. It's a complete lineup, like you said earlier. It is the most complete lineup.
It's freaking ridiculous.
It's like there is no weak spot. Your weakest spot, like we were talking about earlier this season about the weakest spot, and it was like Dylan Dreiling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's the weakest spot. Well, he just hit two homers.
Yeah.
And, or
Inslee, who had, I think, the longest homer, or not maybe the longest, but he Friday night, he gave you a two-run blast to the deepest part of that park. I mean, that's a guy that can step up like no else. I mean, the 22 was team was on the players. This year's teams feels like it's on the coaches. What do you mean by that? Like,
He means like the 2022 Toby T chimes in and says the 2022 team was on the players. This year's team feels like it's on the coaches. He means that 2022 team was so stacked. Like the coaches could have done any. They were so good. This team is good.
Yeah.
And so if they get screwed up, it's on the coaches because this team is coached really well right now. Like they're really coached good.
Yeah, I kind of get what he's saying there. I will say I wish this team just had a little more pitching. I do. Okay, I hate to admit this. I really hate because I want to say we're gonna be fine without him, and we just might. I would if you could give me Chase Burns back, I would take him. I would take him. That guy won you so many games in the postseason last year, and. It was okay. I think the pitching can get there, but I wish we had a guy that could hit 100. That'd be cool. I'm hoping to God Marcus Phillips can develop into something like that, or maybe not that. He can't exactly be that, but something close enough, and at least be a good arm out of the pen that won't screw up and often. And another thing that's also making me really interested is AJ Russell. He was your Friday night ace, and he got injured. I can't exactly remember the injury, but I think I heard a week ago that he'll be back in a few weeks, maybe. They're going to try to work him back in a few weeks. And so I guess that's 2 weeks now. So hopefully we can start working, you know, Russell in through the pen. And maybe that's just what we're going to do. I mean, Friday night, it's weird what we're doing right now. We're opening with Stamos and putting in Causey to go like five innings. That's kind of like how we're doing, you know, Tampa Bay Rays style. But maybe when Russell gets back, if he's all the way back, I guess you could try and make him a starter again for Friday nights. But honestly, I would be intrigued by just keeping what we're doing on Friday and having Russell as your ultimate arm out of the pen. Because that, like we did with Blade Tedwell when he got healthy late, and like we did with Burns when he was struggling as a starter. Like, I just think there's something about having a guy that's so freaking elite out of that bullpen, and you can just trust to take care of just maybe be like, because that you're ambushing guys at that point. Only guy I'm kind of worried about pitching wise after this last weekend, who I wasn't as worried about before, is Nate Snead. He had two bad performances on Friday and Sunday, and that's just I kind of thought he was your best arm coming into the weekend. I mean, all season really, out of Wichita State, he was the strongest arm you had, and I kind of wish he had a better weekend, but hopefully he can get back to where he was before that. I mean, he's not like a super elite arm, but I mean, he's the best one you got, I think, out of the pen. And another guy, I'll move back to the lineup. Our lineup had a great weekend, especially Christian Moore. Burke had a homer. Dreiling had a couple homers. Inslee had a homer. It was a good weekend for the whole lineup mostly, but Amick, I think he had one hit on the weekend, if I'm not mistaken, and had a pretty bad error that kind of cost you the Friday night game. So, did you see the play?
Say that one more time.
Did you see the error Billy Amick had Friday night?
Oh yeah, Mm-hmm.
We were up 3-2. They had runners on second and third, and they hit it straight to him. It wasn't even. I mean, it was hit hard. It wasn't insanely hard though, and it hit his glove, and he closed his glove too fast or something. Mm-hmm. That was not great. And I think he like tried to throw it at home, and he missed it by like 10 feet. And so he didn't hit well this weekend. So it wasn't his. The best performance of his career, but you know what? That's an experienced guy. That's a guy that, you know, you wouldn't have swept LSU at least. Sneed warmed up so many times this weekend. I think that played a role. Not worried yet there. Yeah, that could be it. I mean, he was worked hard. I mean, they definitely put more pressure on him than anyone. And I didn't know if he warmed up Saturday. I didn't know that, but, that usage could be a factor in all that. You could be definitely right about that, Ben. But sorry, there was a question posted about
Ben said Sneed warmed up so many times this weekend. I think that played a role. Not worried yet there.
Yeah, sorry, that was my answer to that question or that comment. But yeah, going back, I'm feeling pretty good about this team. I mean, obviously we just won our toughest weekend road series. I mean, that's kind of crazy that at Kentucky is honest to God, probably the toughest environment you'll play in all year. Isn't that insane?
That's wild. And Tennessee, because Kentucky Stadium is similar capacity to Tennessee Stadium. It's about 6,000 to 7,000 sellout. Around that realm, okay.
It's a lot like Florida's. It's an average like sitting area, and then they have the berms where people can bring lawn chairs and stuff, which we don't have anything like that really. Any standing room only has to be standing.
I really wish in the outfield where the scoreboard is kind of, you know, where the cars park over there, it's like super close. I wish they would just build like a dirt mound and like sod it over.
Yeah.
People could just like sit up there and watch like general admission. But anyways, yeah, that's you're right. The toughest environment. But we got to go to Vandy too.
Well, yeah. Would you say Vandy is a tougher environment? I mean, it's an easier team, and that stadium only holds, I think, 3,600.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And yeah, so Kentucky's probably the toughest environment we'll play the rest of the season.
That's crazy because I mean, you got lucky because you had LSU at home, so you didn't have to go to the box. You where else are we going? We're going to Florida, but they're kind of dead. They're dead to the world. I mean, they're not dead to the world. They still have a shot at the postseason, but they're having a pretty bad season. And we know Florida fans, they don't show up unless they're doing amazing. And we get South Carolina at home. We don't have to go to Founders. What's our other road series? We went to Auburn. That was tough for like one game. And
Missouri comes here this weekend.
Missouri, we don't have to go up to Missouri, thank God, be in frigid temperatures like we did last year. We avoid Arkansas. We avoid A&M. We avoid Mississippi State. I mean, those are three elite road environments and we don't even have to play them at all. So last year's schedule was one of the hardest I can ever remember. And this year's schedule, it really worked out. The toughest road environment we're going to play in is Kentucky, and we avoided the two other best teams in the SEC.
How would you rank the toughest environments in the SEC? Would you go Mississippi State number one, LSU number two?
I might. I might go Arkansas number one, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, that one, they're ruthless, man. And
I've never been to Arkansas. Been to Mississippi State. That place is batshit crazy.
Are they hostile though? I've heard they're like kind of like hospitable in a weird way.
They are, but it's loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's loud.
It's loud. Yeah.
There's nothing to do there in Starkville. Absolutely nothing. That's all they do. And like,
yeah. You're not wrong.
In Starkville, it is baseball number one. That is it. Baseball, football, basketball. That is in that order. If I'm wrong, somebody from Starkville listening, let me know. But I think that's
the order. Oh, they care more about baseball than anybody.
Baseball is their baby.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's weird? I think it was Will Heflin, one of our former pitchers, and they asked him what's the toughest environment he ever played in, and he said it was South Carolina, which is crazy. I mean, it's a big park. It's like 8,500, and Bomb Walker is up there for Arkansas. But he said like South Carolina fans, they had the most accurate insults that you could ever hear. Mm-hmm. They looked up his Instagram page and everything about him, and just every insult they yelled at him was so like accurate. They were like talking about his mom and his girlfriend. It was like, he said those are the worst. That's the worst he ever experienced. And so I don't know. I imagine for other players, we're up there just because of the stuff we'd yell. I never forget when we're playing LSU, and I don't want to repeat any of what we yelled at their first baseman. it was pretty brutal in that super regional. But we have a really favorable schedule, honestly. And
who was that guy for Auburn? Was it last year? Was it Taco or something like that?
Joey the meatball. Joey freaking the big fat first baseman.
Yes,
Joey.
Okay. So what Joey, was like great about that.
That's something.
What was great about that is I was at one of the games, and the student section was just like heckling that guy, like just all on him. And that guy was so much fun at first base because he just like chirped back and was like a good spirit about it.
It was
a lot of fun. Like it was a lot of, he was so like, it was fun. He was a lot of fun. And like a lot of times, other players don't take it like that, but that guy.
Oh yeah.
What was his freaking? Was it Taco? Was his name?
He was Italian. It was like duh something. He was big and fat, and he hit dingers. He hit dingers, and he won SEC Player of the Year. And that was actually the 22 team that we played them.
Yeah.
Because I was mad as hell that he got the SEC Player of the Year over Lipscomb.
Yeah.
But
he was a great personality, man. He was fun.
Yeah, I like that. Don't make it worse, you know, like and a lot of people think Tony was trying to call out Kentucky's team for the celebrations they were doing, like when he had that cheerleader comment. I went back and listened. It wasn't, that was taken out of context. He was talking about Cal Stark and how he didn't want to have to cheer on his team. He wanted to be in the games when he got benched or when he got pulled for pinch hit for.
It's amazing Kegels. When you actually read an entire article or clip or
yeah.
Well,
I know I offended you with my Will Levis controversy.
You did. You're like, oh, you went crazy, and then you listen to the whole entire interview and you're like, oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. Well, so I will
jack
sometimes I well, here's the thing. Sometimes if you already have an idea for that kind of person beforehand, you feel
we know.
Oh, whatever. I don't want to talk about Levis right now. Anyways, that was taken out of context. But I will say, in a weird way, this Kentucky team, it doesn't remind. It reminds me a little bit of our Tennessee baseball team in 2021. Actually, Sonny DeShera. That is it. Sonny DeShera. Thank you, Italian meatball. The big Italian meatball.
Thank you, Toby.
And big fat boy hit dingers. Yeah. And he got walked a lot. We just wouldn't pitch to him, and which why would you? He was a hell of a hitter. But this Kentucky team reminds me of our team in 2021. You know, because it reminds me of how we liked. I don't know. They're very energetic and they got the stuff going, but they're not quite elite in pitching. They're not quite elite in hitting. They're just kind of pretty good at all of it. And you know, it's kind of like the fan base is discovering baseball this year. It feels that way, at least. And but we still beat that ass, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean that's what we do to Kentucky. So
yeah,
that's. I mean,
even how good you can get, like I don't know if they can really get better there. I don't think. I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, unless they really got funding, which Kentucky's not gonna. They're just gonna pour into the transfer portal for their basketball program. So I don't know if they'll ever put real money into baseball. So they're never. This is kind of the peak in my mind for Kentucky baseball. I can't see it getting much better than this. But yeah, that was a hell of a series win. And now we go on to Missouri. And Missouri comes to town. They lost 2 out of 3 to LSU, and they're Missouri. They got a new coach, and here's the thing about Missouri. They're always going to be the least talented team in the entire SEC. That is basically a guarantee. But sometimes they can just be chippy, and sometimes they can get you. Like and you definitely don't want to play them up there in early in the year because they can get cold as balls. And that's what we did last year. And I mean, everyone on our team looked like Ralphie from Christmas Story for how cold it was last year when we played them to open the season, and we got swept. And then that was the only series Missouri won all year, if I remember correctly. And which actually that at the end of the day probably cost us a hosting spot. But yeah, we're lucky we're not going up there. If you get them at home, they're pretty easy to beat, I'd say. Watch them win this series or some crap. But I'm not too worried about it, to say the least. Especially with how hot we are, winning 9 out of 10. Our last 5 series.
Yeah, this team is just, they're good at winning series.
Yeah.
They're good at winning series, and I'm not worried about Missouri either. I'm going to the game tomorrow. To
Lipscomb.
Watch them. Yeah. No, it's not Lipscomb. Who is it? Dang it.
I think it was Lipscomb.
No, it's not. You're going to make me look this up.
Is it not Lipscomb?
No,
Tennessee Tech? No. That was Lipscomb. Belmont? Maybe?
It's Western Carolina.
Western Carolina. Okay. You're right. You're right. Yellow Western, and gold.
Yeah. Yellow and gold. That's what you're thinking of. Yellow and gold. But yes, it's Western Carolina. I'm going to watch them probably win 17-2 or something like that. You know what's wild about the midweek games for Tennessee is they've dominated all of them. And a lot of teams have had trouble with their midweek games.
Oh yeah, and that affects your RPI big time. I mean, he came in late. But yeah, he definitely. That is a majorly true. It's we haven't dropped one yet. What's our worst loss? Is it
Alabama?
Is it Auburn or probably Auburn.
Auburn, but Alabama.
Ole Miss at home is probably the worst one. I think that was the only one that is a quad 2 loss. But yeah, we've dominated, unlike some teams have. I think Florida's dropped like 7 midweeks. I mean, yeah,
we haven't dropped one. That's insane, man.
Yeah.
That's just wild, man. That's
and we had the nights where it might happen, cuz Southern Indiana, we only scored 2 runs. ETSU, we only scored 3, but we end up just the pitching held on, which is, yeah, that's the biggest issue for this team. Yeah. So it's kind of funny. Yeah, I had one more thing I was going to say. I can't quite remember it. But, so we're 3 behind in the East from Kentucky right now. And Kentucky goes to South Carolina. They still got to they got a home series against Arkansas coming up. And we have a much easier road ahead than they do. I think our toughest series is at Vandy and at Florida, I guess. You could very much. There's a good shot. You could still win the SEC. That is still on the table.
That Ben chimes in and said, "Whooped Kansas State midweek when they pitched their Friday guy." So that's a pretty good.
That was a good win.
That was a good win. Yeah, you're right, Ben. Thanks, man. That was a good
one. Showed up every midweek.
Yep.
Honestly, our only non-con loss was Oklahoma in Texas. But yeah, but so winning the SEC is still on the table. We're only 3 games behind Kentucky. Kentucky, yeah, they lead the entire SEC still. Mm-hmm. Despite that, and we just gave them their first series loss.
Yeah, their first series loss, yep.
Up in their house, and they're setting every attendance record.
How mad are they? Like, you know they are so pissed off. They cannot beat us. Like, anything important ever. Like, football, they cannot stand. You wake up every day as a Kentucky fan and despise the color orange. You hate the color orange. You cannot stand the University of Tennessee Volunteers. You cannot stand them. We own you. You suck at almost everything.
It was funny. When they beat us on Friday night, I tweeted something a little salty. I did. I'm not going to lie. When they beat us Friday night, and I had a guy chime in my mentions and said, "We own you." I'm just like, okay. Okay, stop it right there. Okay.
At what?
Football, we've beaten you, I think, 33 out of the last 36 times. 33 of the last 36. That is my lifetime plus 10 that we've beaten you 33 times in out of 36. That is complete ownership in football. The thing that pays for everything, the thing that's most important, we own your ass. Like, I mean, we literally could put our name all over yours and no one would say anything in football. And then basketball. Okay. Basketball all time. You lead us. Sure. But also you're the only team in this entire conference that values basketball over football. And we've beaten you. Brooke Barnes is 12-11 against Kentucky and has had a better season. We've had a better season than Kentucky for, I think, 3 straight years now. And we've been to the Elite Eight more often this decade. We've won, I think, like 3 times as many tournament games this decade. This decade is coming up on complete ownership of Kentucky. We've beaten them in the SEC tournament twice or 3 times, I think, actually. But basketball, historically, you got us there. You got the upper hand there. But in the last 5 years, Lord, we got that. We're definitely the superior program. And then women's basketball, you got no argument there. Good Lord. And every other baseball. They said this after they beat us on Friday night. Of course, we come and win the series in their biggest series ever. They've never even been to Omaha, man. And they want to throw a 0 Final Four thing in our face. It's like, okay, well, here's the thing. We've actually finished better than you more recently in basketball. And you've never even been to Omaha, and we're also doing better than you, and we just beat you. You don't have any kind of upper hand on any sport that anyone cares about. I think someone actually really went in depth one time, a Kentucky fan, a really salty Kentucky fan, and they said that, oh, we got you in men's tennis. He was serious. He brought up men's tennis there, and I you're right. You got me there. I didn't know. I was unaware. And he said gymnastics too, which we don't have a gymnastics team. So you got me there. You got me there. So we own Kentucky. It's no competition. I mean, hell, we have, I think, like, our population's like 4 million people more, and our economy is way bigger. Tennessee is superior to Kentucky in every way, shape, and form, even in basketball.
Even currently. In your economy, it's better.
And you can't even beat us lately, or you can't even have a better season than us lately, or sweep us in the one sport you hold so near and dear to your heart, and that's basketball. I mean, it's just give up, man. And but you might get us now. You hired a guy that's never won a tournament game, so you're great strategy, Kentucky. I love, we didn't talk about this, but when they hired Mark Pope, I heard a lot of their fans saying, well, he's gonna get Reed Sheppard. He's really good friends with his dad, Mark Pope is, because they play together and yada yada yada. Reed Sheppard's gonna stay. He even mentioned something about Sheppard in the press conference. I think it was like 3 days, like 4 or 5 days ago, Reed Sheppard put out an announcement he's going to the draft. So yeah. Okay. And you have 30 players on your roster.
When you brought that bus, when you brought the bus to your press conference and just did the most Butch Jones ass shit I've ever seen in my life, when you have to do that to get people pumped up, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. We as Tennessee fans in Kentucky, you can make fun of us all you want to, because that's about the time you beat us like the last three times out of the last 500 years is when we had these crappy coaches, and we still beat you when we had these crappy coaches as well too. But we've seen it. We know what you're about to happen to you, because we've seen the clown show of what you got to do to get you brick by brick. We're pumped up. We got you. We got you. It's a clown show.
You know how hilarious it is? Their best football team ever got beat by double digits by a 5-7 Tennessee football team coached by Jeremy Pruitt. That is just sad.
By Jarrett Garantano.
Jarrett Garantano, Jeremy Pruitt, with your best team ever.
Ever. Let's spell it out.
Fold it up.
E-R. Ever.
Sorry, I didn't join you with that.
It's okay. That was my little riddle.
I don't spell. You know, it's one of my downfalls. Like, and okay, they want to. I've had a lot of Kentucky fans. I do tweet about them a lot, but you know what, man? Quit doing stuff for me to tweet about. You guys are nonstop with losing to Oakland and hiring a guy that's never won a tournament game and losing to us, and there's a lot to tweet about Kentucky. I'm sorry, and we are rivals, but that's not it. It's just there's so much going on with you guys. It's like how can a person fall on their face so many times? Yeah, we beat them. We beat that ass, and let's keep on doing it, man. Speaking of basketball, because Kentucky, you got to talk about basketball. But speaking of basketball, we are currently after some players in the portal, because I don't know if you heard, we've lost a lot of players in the portal. We're not exactly dead, you know, losing these guys, but are absolutely devastated losing Adu and Awaka, but it's what it is. But we're currently after, I think, Kay Tyson from Belmont, just a freaking dude, and Igor, I think his name's last name's Belinisic or something like that.
Igor Milicic.
Yeah, Milicic. Okay. There was no H there, so I don't know what to do with that.
Our good buddy Jordan Moore, that's on our podcast a bunch about basketball. he tweets out, my allergies are kicking my butt, man. He tweets out earlier, about 4 hours ago, with 5 spots still open, it seems that Rick Barnes and his staff have focused on 4 transfer portal targets. Cade Tyson, Belmont. Igor Milicic, Charlotte. Felix Akpara, Ohio State. Chaz Lanier, North Florida. All expect to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of options here with big dudes, with the departure of Adu and Awaka. So,
mm-hmm. And DeLeon.
Yeah.
And of course you're losing Santee and Josiah to connect the normal way. But
yeah.
yeah. And the I mean there is still we might get a Walker back, I've heard. I mean, it's less likely than it was a few days ago, I feel like.
It's been 2 weeks. I don't think he's coming back.
It's probably not happening, because we want to promise him. I've heard that we're offering him, or he wants playing time. It's not a money deal. He wants playing time. And I don't blame him there, but it's also kind of hard to play him when he gets 5 fouls within like 10 minutes.
Have you heard of Adu's destinations?
Oh, I heard. Yeah.
He's added Alabama to the mix.
Alabama. Oh, now he's looking at Alabama. Oh man, that boy is salty.
So he's got Baylor, Kentucky, Alabama, North Carolina, and there's one more, I think. I don't know who it is, but those are the big four right there. You got two SEC schools, two of our biggest rivals, right there. If you go there, you will be the most hated man besides Henry Toto. So, you know what, man?
I don't even. Okay. The weird thing about Adu is like he had those games that he won for you. He had those games where he would be the leading rebounder. He'd be leading you. I mean, he'd get a big double-double and, you know, he would be the guy that led you to the win, but also in it seems like the bigger games, he would just get owned. And just you couldn't even use him. He was slow up the court and couldn't hit his mid-range, and he couldn't defend against a superior big man. I'm not – it's just like, okay, that guy was good. What else – what happened to turn him? It was also something that happened during the game.
Joseph Ray chimes in and asks,
are you referring to the Purdue game where we had to bench him because he was getting owned by Edie?
We'll give Joseph a second to chime back in, but I've said this multiple times, but him getting off the bus after me and a couple people, me and Megan, went to the shuttle, came back from Chicago. He got off the bus. Adu got off the bus. And, dude, that dude just looked so – he was gone. He was gone before he got off the bus. And so I don't know. Like, it was weird.
The thing about it is, that was a game for your season, and you got to coach it to the best of your ability. And AD was just getting punked every time by this, by Edie. That was it. He was done when he was getting off the bus. Yeah, that
Joseph, I 100% agree. I was there. I was looking straight at him when he got off the bus. That dude wanted nothing to do with anything around him. The dude was dead in the water. He walked with his head down, paid attention to no one, and just completely, he was gone.
I turned
to the person next to me and said, he's done.
Is that really, Rainey, would you rather him come back or what? Would you want him back?
No.
I just feel like, okay, he's guaranteed a starting spot, right? And if he's back here, and he's good. He's good in a lot of ways. He really is good. He could win you games. He's pretty good. But also, I feel like in the bigger games against teams with really great big men, he's going to get owned. He seems like the guy that kind of like, I don't want to make a bunch of assumptions about the guy, but I just feel like the big moment's not for him. You know, and what I want the most as a Tennessee fan is to win NCAA tournament games. And I feel like that guy is just not going to show up in those games.
I've heard from numerous people, and I could be wrong. Don't want to speculate, but I'm going to, that he reads social media. He gets all offended. Listen, if you get offended by social media, then you're soft as a freaking Charmin toilet paper. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if someone's tweeting something about me and I'm playing a sport, I don't give a damn what you say. Like, you are someone sitting on your couch tweeting about me. I don't care. If you care about someone, I can't stand this notion.
I mean,
soft ass athletes these days, when people, someone tweeted, someone said something on social media, you are soft. I'm sorry. You're soft.
It wouldn't piss you off though. It wouldn't piss you off at all.
No, you're soft. It's from some random person on their cell phone saying something mean about me. I don't care. I don't give a damn about you. I don't even know you. Like, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna act like it tells me everything about you, but it you should be able to shut that off. I mean, Kevin Durant.
Just shut it off. Like, you, like, stop being weak.
I mean,
like,
it's human instinct, but I mean,
this new wave of people, players, kids, whatever, like, they're screwed because they're so weak minded because of social media. You can say what you want to say, but like, it's true. Like, oh, I'm so sad because someone said they didn't like me. Shut up and play ball.
I think that is a part of it, but also we can't say because the previous generation didn't have to deal with that. So it's kind of.
We're dealing with. I'm 36 years old.
People, I know.
People say they want to kill me on the regular. Like, do I care? No, I don't know you. I don't care.
Okay, but I will say it's crazy that we live in a time and place where I can literally open this up and hear what everyone says about me. I'm not going to lie. It would fuck with me a little bit. It would fuck
with
me.
Why?
Just
they don't matter to you.
They don't. They shouldn't. That you should be able to shut that off. But
God. Such a weak-minded generation, man. I'm just telling you right now. Everyone is so weak. They're so soft about everything. I don't care. Oh, I don't care. You're not playing. I'm playing. Like, I don't know.
It shouldn't be a big deal for a guy that's been starting for 3 years. I'd see that most likely affecting freshmen. That would be, I would have thought at least. But
if that affects your game, then you're soft. I'm sorry. You're soft.
I don't even
if you're playing the game. Yeah, no. Yeah, I did. You just said it did. That is the most softest. Like.
I didn't say anything about affecting your game. I'm saying just like overall, just like opening up at home or some shit, you know?
Yeah, that's so stupid, man. Like, oh, someone said something mean about me.
It wouldn't raise your, like, I'm not saying like crying about it. I'm saying like getting pissed off like that.
No, I'd be like, well, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. So Ben chimes in. Chase Burns definitely checks Twitter. Okay. Exactly. Like, yeah. I just, it's such a soft generation. I don't understand how.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had Jerry Garantano DM me 1 week during the 2018 season when I was kind of running my mouth on Twitter. So, that is
like it's soft. It's soft.
It is soft. Overall, it does
care about what people say about you that have nothing to do with your life. That have nothing to do. Oh my God. Like the fans are mad at me. Okay. Well, shut the hell up and do something about it. Like, oh, I will. I'm going to transfer. I'm going to do
I'm not saying that. Okay. I don't agree with that. No, if you're like letting it, like, here's the thing. If these fans are critical of you, every fan's going to be critical of you. Okay. Fan bases. Yeah. Some are more crazy than others. You can go to the Pac-12 where no one cares. If you go to a place where people care, they're always going to, you know, say the same thing. Like if you go to freaking North Carolina, they're going to say the same thing. If you go to Kentucky, they're going to say the same thing. If you go to Louisville, they're going to say the same thing. The only places you'll find them not saying that, probably like Washington or UCLA, because they just don't care. Yeah. They don't take the sport seriously. I mean, they do, but it's not really. It's a much lighter degree than what you'd see down here because we really care. I don't buy that crap. I was just talking in general. Like I wouldn't, if I was an athlete, a prime athlete, and you know, I'm at home, I had a crappy game, I got owned or something, and I don't know. If I had someone send me that,
people are chiming in right here, like, your show sucks. You're terrible. I cannot stand your show. I don't give a damn. It's not going to affect the way I do a show. I don't care.
I'm not saying it should affect how you play. It shouldn't affect how you play. Absolutely. Care. Or where you play or anything like that.
You suck at your job. I'm still employed. I don't care. Apparently, I don't suck that bad because I'm still here.
Well, getting off topic. But yeah. But my thing is, like, was it really social media that got Adu down or made him go, or reason why he was benched against Purdue?
It is an issue. It has been reported. It has been reported that you have players' moms posting about it. Come on, like
I'll never forget. I was listening to the Paul Feinbaum show. I legit remember this. It was a while ago. It was 2011, I think. And the guy came in talking crap about, I think it was Paul Feinbaum. Maybe it was like up there showing it all on Paul Feinbaum. It happened on a local station. But the station was like really critical of Derek Dooley, and his mom called in defending him.
I remember that.
It's like, my God.
He's a grown-ass 40-plus-year-old man. That is.
Which I don't think Dooley cared what people thought about him. I don't think Dooley cared much about anything. Didn't care about recruiting offensive linemen.
If you care about what people say on social media, then you are soft. This I'll get out.
Well, I my thing with Adu overall is just he just wasn't built for the big moment. He wasn't built to, you know, go on a championship run. Could we have done it with him on the roster? Of course, but I don't know if you could do it with him being your primary big. And I'd rather go out and find someone else to fill his minutes, because I'm hesitant, because if we face a really dominant big man, he's going to get owned. And I mean, the when it's good, it's great with him. But when he sees a really dominant big man, it's all over, and it ain't worth that. Like the good days with him aren't worth the bad days with him, in my opinion. And I think Estrella will be, I think Estrella should be your starting five, honestly, next season.
Estrella's good, bro.
Put on some weight, and get him in those early non-con games. Get him to get some experience and work off, you know, get his lumps, have his bad moments out of the way early in the year. Like, that's one thing I'll be critical of Barnes about. I don't think he plays young guys enough sometimes. And hopefully if you make Estrella a starter from the go, he can, you know, work off all that. I don't know what will happen if we get that big man from Ohio State. I guess that guy will be the starter, starting five, and we'll play with one big and four guards. Which honestly, that Igor guy is 6'10", so he'd be a perfect four. He's skinny and he kind of plays like a guard though, so it's weird. Wow. He's kind of an enigma, which it's good for. He's a good specimen for modern basketball, where every guy is supposed to be a shooter. But anyways, basketball, it's weird. This is such a big time in recruiting basketball, but it's also like we're so far away from basketball and we just ended the season, so I don't even, like, part of me doesn't want to think about basketball right now. But yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
I know.
Also, the NBA is going on.
Yeah, I'm watching actually wrestling right now. But
I'm watching the Atlanta Braves, where Travis Dinard, I think two innings ago, hit his fifth home run in the last three games. Our 35-year-old catcher, who's on like a $2 million contract. It's crazy. Gotta love the Braves.
All right. Let's transition to our last topic here. I'm gonna turn on some music. It's gonna be the tribute music, just to have it. All right.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
What? Oh, you're. All right, cuz. So, here we go. Your top five most top five miserable fan bases of all time. I gotta, like, you're supposed to give five examples or five teams. I got about eight or nine written down.
A list of 15.
Okay, well, you did way more than me. So, all right. So, your top five most miserable fan bases out there, college, pros, doesn't matter. What do you got? Austin, you start off. I've got mine.
Am I starting at the bottom or the top?
There's no really.
Yeah.
No real order.
Okay.
They're all miserable. The fans are miserable. Your top five most miserable fan bases.
Okay. Off the jump, I'm coming off with the Indiana Hoosiers. Okay. This is a prime blue blood basketball program. And they're with Mike Woodson, 65-year-old Mike Woodson. You're going nowhere with him, and their fans know it. They just missed a tournament. Their program, I mean, they look bad, poorly coached, and they're not. They will never see their potential under him, and everyone knows that. He is a filler coach, and they had Dusty May come up, the number one up-and-coming coach, a Knight disciple, and the hottest name in coaching, and they let him slip away to one of their rivals while they're sitting with this guy. That killed their fan base. I know it did. I was reading the comments. It was absolutely devastating. And their football program, I mean, it's where it usually is right now. So it went away from those good days of Tom Allen. I think he's gone now. They had to get rid of him, and they hired a new guy. And just it's just there's nothing to be excited about there. So, and they're stuck with that guy. So they're number five for me.
Hoosiers. I'm gonna post these on channels tomorrow. We're gonna kind of compete here. But before we do, Toby chimes in. The King of the Ring is back, Randy. From what Gunther just said, yes, the King of the Ring. Also, you understand because
no, I have no idea what you are talking about
because you were born way after the prime of wrestling.
But I didn't watch it even after.
Well, it's freaking awesome. But anyways, okay. So Austin has the Indiana Hoosiers as his number one pick. I've actually just changed this category here. We're going to go 1 through 5. So pick your best five, Austin, because I'm going to post.
Oh, we're ranking them.
We are now. I just.
Okay. Well, I have a new. That's not my number one, but.
Okay. So do your number one real quick. You know how to explain. Just say it.
Oh, well. I kind of want to explain. I'll go Oakland Athletics, obviously, just
for Oakland A's.
Every normal reason. They're not gonna. All right. I think they're going Sacramento. They might be happy about that though. Okay. So
we're gonna post a poll of our top five, East top fives tomorrow, and see who wins. And I just made this up on the fly, son. Okay, so mine is the Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm. They're on my list.
Washington Commanders, you can erase them off your list. They are a dumpster fire. They bought into the woke culture and changed their name, even though the chief of that tribe said this, we want them to keep our name that. So Washington Commanders, they are just completely awful. They're terrible. They've been bad at everything. They're talking about drafting Jane Daniels. No, not Jane Daniels. Michigan quarterback. Austin.
J.J.
McCarthy.
McCarthy, that's right.
Who is just
he's average at everything.
Damn near awful. That's why your organization is complete trash. It's been awful since your jerseys are awful. The Commander's name is awful. Everything about your organization.
Worst stadium in the NFL. They rank that the worst stadium. I will say, if there's one thing about the Commanders they aren't feeling so dead about, is that Dan Snyder is finally gone after like 30 years as the owner, and they have a little hope now. But that's an excellent pick. This is kind of a twofer, because these two fan bases are in the same spot for the same reason, and that is Oregon State and Washington State. They are the two children left behind. So the first two children left behind of this new world of college football. They're both going to the Mountain West, and they're seeing all their rosters being depleted by the portal because no one wants to play in a G5 conference. And it's just, I couldn't imagine how depressing that is to watch your team in a power league for 100 and something years, or almost 100 years, and then just one day there's like, hey, we're moving, and yeah, you ain't coming. Wait, what?
So who's your pick right there?
It's a twofer with Washington State and Oregon State.
You can only pick one.
But it's the same thing, pretty much.
Oregon State and Washington State?
Well, they're the two teams of all of college football that are being left behind. They're going the Mountain West from the Pac-12, where they were for a power conference school for 90 years, and now they are both not going to be, and they're seeing their entire rosters get depleted by the portal. It's just depressing as all freaking get.
So you got to pick one.
It's the same deal, but I guess Oregon State, they seem to be, at least Oregon State was doing good. That's the one difference between them and Washington State, so I'll go with them.
All right.
But
so your first pick is Oakland A's, second pick Oregon State, my first pick is Washington Commanders. My next pick is the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
Yes. The Cleveland Browns have had nothing since Jim Brown. They've been absolutely pathetic ever since then. They got the dog pound. They have an awesome fan base. But imagine being in their fan base and how pathetic you Like, it, you never have something to cheer for. It's always disappointment. It's always bad. You're like, oh my God, the Savior, Johnny Manziel's coming in. No. Drugs, alcohol, done. You've had 30 quarterbacks in the last 12 seasons. Your fan base has nothing to look forward to. It's exciting right now. And they go, oh, we got Deshaun Watson. No, he's done. He sucks. Like, your organization, every time you think they are going to do something well, they absolutely suck at everything. The Cleveland Browns are a disappointment to everything in the realm of the NFL. So, my number two pick, Cleveland Browns.
Okay, this one's kind of random, but I was thinking about it the other night. Which sports team in the big three leagues, I don't know hockey that well, so I don't think about their fan bases. So in the big three, that just, if they stopped existing, no one would notice. And that's the Atlanta Hawks. They're never that bad. They're never that good. It's just their whole entire history is just basically existing. That is the whole existence of the Atlanta Hawks. They're just there. They're not that bad. They're not that good, and they'll never go anywhere else. And that's what they did this year in the play-in game. They lost. It's just a constant middle of the road team. Kind of. I mean, you can say that about the Titans in a lot of ways, but whatever.
That's a good one. And Hawks. My next one is going to be Kentucky football. Kentucky football, this is your ceiling. Mark Stoops is your ceiling. You have nothing more, nothing less. You are a 8-9 win program at max. When he leaves, you are down the dumps again. You had Jared Lorenzo, hefty lefty, part of the best thing that ever happened to your program. Mark Stoops, he'll never beat Tennessee. You will never be a national title contender. You'll always be in the middle of the pack. You'll never be relevant. You'll just be Kentucky football. That's all you will be. My number three is Kentucky football. Austin, what is your number four?
Okay, this is weird because, I mean, this team's only 10 years removed from a title. But I'm going to go to the Denver Broncos with the release of the worst uniforms I've ever seen today. And so, yes, they won the Super Bowl a little bit ago, but at the same time, it's just like they're playing the worst brand of football. They just traded. Didn't they just, traded for Zach Wilson. And it feels like I'm a big uniform guy. I love uniforms. I absolutely adore uniforms. But and it would be the ultimate slap in the face like no other that my team went with this UTSA Roadrunners looking uniform over going to the most beautiful, over going fully back to the most beautiful throwbacks imaginable. Like, it would just be a huge like slap in the face. Like, we don't care about you. We don't care what you think to the entire fan base of the Denver Broncos. And that's why they are number four.
All right, my number four. This is recency. No, it's not even recency bias. This is the last half my lifetime. The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Their fans have got to be just, until Jerry Jones passes away, that franchise will never win shit. Ever. The Dallas Cowboy fans have got to be one of the most miserable fan bases because they think they're going to win it every single year. And if you say that's wrong, then you're wrong. The Dallas Cowboy fans have got to be one of the most miserable fan bases in all of sports right now until Jerry Jones decides to bite the dust and they can move on. Dallas Cowboys is my number four.
Who should be number five? I'm looking at a bunch of names. I'm going to go to the Chicago White Sox. They are arguably the worst team in the entire league right now. And they are coming off of their, like, two or three years ago was supposed to be their resurgence. They're supposed to finally be back with Tim Anderson and all those other guys. I can't think of the other names, but you know, they flamed out in the playoffs twice, and now they are in full rebuild mode again. I mean, a lot of MLB teams can feel like this, but they seem to be the worst at just like reaching up there for a second and then just landing flat in their face. It's just, I can't believe that they're already the worst team in the league. I could have put the Rockies here, but I don't know. That's they at least the Rockies never really realized anything. So the White Sox, it just seems like a constant cycle of getting their hopes up and then just ultimate devastation.
So your last one is the White Sox.
Yeah.
My last one is, this is a tough one. You went baseball. I was going to go baseball, but I'm going to go the Buffalo Bills. The Bills. They had that run in the early 90s from like 93, 94. They went to like 3-4 straight Super Bowls. Great. And lost them all.
Yeah.
They lost every single one of them. And they just traded away Stephon Diggs off of this current team. Best wide receiver on their team. They were picked to win the Super Bowl so many times in this past couple, 3, 4, 5 years. And they just, they're the Bills. They just don't do it.
You know,
hate, and their fan base is nuts. The Bills Mafia, they're crazy. So that's why they jump through tables on fire and all that stuff, because they have seen some stupid stuff and they just can't get over it.
You know, it's funny. I see a big difference between yours and mine list, because I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. I've seen my team all on their face and choke in the worst fashion imaginable year after year after year, like the Cowboys do. And then one year, it all clicked and we won it all. Just like and so it's hard for me to put a fan base there, because at the same time, there is a hope that you could put it all together and go on that run. So I because I've seen it, I got to believe that I can't put those fan bases there.
Well, Toby Thompson says Bill went 4 straight, not 3 straight. I said 3 straight. It's 4 straight. Four falls of Buffalo. My God.
Yeah. And Josh Allen, he's regressing. They are pretty bad off right now.
Yeah.
There's some honorable mentions. Let me list these. I thought about Vandy because they don't have
any fans.
They don't have any fans anymore, really. I mean, I felt like they kind of did for like a moment there. I mean, kinda. But I mean, at least they finally fired Jerry Stackhouse. At least that was at least that happened. And another one was Virginia Tech. I mean, they used to be the king. They were one of the kings of the 90s, or at least kind of. I mean, they were a big deal in the 90s with Beamer. They got the title game one time. But
the worst.
That was their heyday, and now they just can't even see the light of day. They at least got to a bowl last year. Whatever. And one I thought about putting here, but just because their baseball team's doing so good, I didn't, was Arkansas. And it's just like I've never seen a program kind of like trick their fans into thinking they're going to do something than they have with the basketball program. It's just like, imagine having all of that money and using it to buy a guy that loses in the first round every year. It feels like it was the most expensive option they could have pulled off for a head coach. And it was for a guy that literally sucks ass in the tournament. Currently, yes, he used to be good. Yes, he used to. He's so far from that, it's not even funny. I'm not kidding you, man. I mean, you're literally, I mean, the program you took him from is thinking in the heavens he's gone. What does that tell you, man? Just crazy. And in baseball, I know you're doing great right now. You know you're not going to win it all, though. I mean, let's be honest here. Arkansas, I mean, you had that title in 2018 or 13, whichever one it was. I think it was 18. And you guys couldn't catch a foul ball, and then Oregon State won that game, and then won in the next day. And it's just in basketball or in football, you hired Bobby Petrino to just give you some hope that you can do good at, you can be a good football team. Here's an idea: take all that money you're going to give John Calipari and put it in NIL, or that you gave John Calipari and put it into NIL. That would have been a better idea than getting John Calipari. I mean, what the flip, man? I mean, they're in that weird location where it's just hard to get players to come there. That one might have cracked my list, but obviously they have hope because of their baseball team right now, but it's just, I don't, they choke every time.
Yeah.
So.
I had all of the ones I chose, plus Milwaukee Brewers, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Chargers.
Ooh. Who is the Brewers? Brewers are interesting because they're so pitching heavy, and, it's kind of like your Twins. It's just like, not bad. They got good pitching, but not having much of an offense is always going to be a thing that kills them. And they can't keep a big name around. I guess they kept Yelich. They kept Yelly. But, and y'all got Correa up there. But,